Become the Media Radio. Become the Media Radio. Become the Media Radio is a one-hour program featuring edited segments of programs independently produced and aired on Free Radio Santa Cruz, an unlicensed micro-power radio station broadcasting for nearly a decade in Santa Cruz, California, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, at 96.3 megahertz and streaming live at www.freakradio.org. In this program, we'll hear the sounds of downtown Santa Cruz as political tablers are arrested under new draconian conduct ordinances. We'll also hear from the Santa Cruz City Libraries on how they're dealing with the Patriot Act. Also, an interview with Reese Ehrlich on the possible next U.S. target of Iran. We'll hear a short documentary on unlicensed micro radio and music throughout the program. Please stay tuned to Become the Media Radio.
Time and an aggressive time, a painful time, a time where cynicism rots the vine, and a time where violence blocks the summer shine. Lifetimes go by in a flash, in a search for love, in a search for cash. Everybody wanna be some fat tycoon, everybody wanna be on a tropic honeymoon. Nobody wanna sing a little bit out of tune, or be the backbone of a rebel platoon. It's too soon to step out of line. You might get laughed at, you might get fined, but do you fear me when I say I feel pain every day when I see the way my friends gotta slay and never get ahead of bills they gotta pay? No way, no way. Some make a living doing killing, Colombian penicillin. Some are willing to play the villain, they just chilling to pass the time, pass the information, or pass the wine, pass the buck, or pass the baton. But you can't pass the police or the Pentagon, the IRS or the upper echelon. I think it's time to make a move on the contradiction. Bomb, bomb, rock the nation, take over television and radio station. Bomb, bomb, the truth shall come, keep the corporations of complication. Bomb, bomb, rock the nation, take over television and radio station. Bomb, bomb, the truth shall come, keep the corporations of complication. Say, ooh, ooh, ooh. The dawning of our time. I say it one more time to emphasize the meaning of my rhyme. To rise above all the dirt and grime, add the right spice at the right time. Fuck the Constitution. Are we part of the solution, or are we part of the pollution? Sitting by and wondering why things ain't the way we like to find them to be for you and for me, the people over there and the ones in between. Check our habitation. Are we a peace-loving nation? Peace-loving nation. I have a reasonable doubt. I think I just spell it out. There's no need to scream or to shout. The NRA just bought a man's soul. Then he jumps up and shouts, gun control. The government say that killing's a sin unless you kill a murderer with a lethal syringe. So I ask again, are we peace lovers then? Peace lovers then. Some of them slang guns when they 6 years old. Some of them end up in some 6 foot hole. This whole damn place seems to lost control. So I raise my voice before I lose my soul. Bomb, bomb, rock the nation, take over television and radio station. Bomb, bomb, the truth shall come, keep the corporations of complication. Bomb, bomb, rock the nation, take over television and radio station. Bomb, bomb, the truth shall come, keep the corporations of complication. Yeah. Ooh, ooh. Say, ooh, ooh. Say, ooh, ooh. Radio, rock the mic.
This is the way I'll express my feelings. I reveal demi balls spinning on a record. Y'all try to confiscate, take what I communicate with. It's ancient, gift to the lips, steady creating, activating, passing vocal violations to the blind plus the seeing. Human doesn't mean just being, becoming. Don't believe it, just be life it. Belongings and beloved, rehearse it or recite it while shining. Drop your guns, move your tongues, battle motivation. No times lyrics come, sometimes fun, others run. Their mouth throw away, my mind's cold beaming like an early sun ray. One day we'll get the picture and all combine. Let's be talking about minds, mind. And become one mind. Every piece of the puzzle has its place to build the piece of the puzzle called the human race. Taking it long enough, we crush the formal journalistics. Dyslexic critics talk backwards to rap words. I'm sure raising my hand with questions and demands, statements and a plan with the map of the land.
Bomb, bomb, rock the nation, take over television and radio station. Bomb, bomb, the truth shall come, keep the corporations of complication. Bomb, bomb, rock the nation, take over television and radio station. Bomb, bomb,
operation, some complication, y'all.
So it's about 2:30 at the Pacific Trading Company on Sunday, July... It's the 6th. And here's Steve Argue, myself, and Becky Johnson, and an ironing board, of all things, just keeping the tabling going in front of Jackson's Shoes and Pacific Trading Company. And it's now about 3:30. Sergeant Baker has returned. We have Officer Pollock, Officer Phelps. Officer Phelps is called Mr. Argue over.
Santa Cruz Municipal Code Section 5.43.020, non-commercial display. What I need you to do is sign in the red box. By doing so, you're not admitting guilt. You're just promising to contact the court by the 6th of August.
This law is a violation of the Constitution.
I don't need a commentary. I need a signature.
Of freedom of speech. I refuse to sign.
Okay. Do you understand that refusing to sign a citation, you're in violation of Penal Code Section 853.5.
No, I'm not, because I'm asking you. I'm asking you to take me to a magistrate. I'm not asking.
All right, let's go.
Okay. You know that on weekends there's no magistrate available.
You're going to have to sit in jail.
You have to go to jail, right?
Okay.
Understand that.
So it's you that's
doing that.
It's you that's violating the law here. You are violating the Constitution of the United States of America, which you are sworn to uphold.
By signing that, you know, you keep yourself out of jail.
I'm not signing it.
Okay, so
this law is a violation of the Constitution.
You demand to go to jail.
I'm not demanding to go to jail. You're taking me to jail. I wish that you'd get rid of this law, which is a violation
of
everybody's free speech. You're enforcing a law that is a violation of the Constitution.
Man being arrested right here, handcuffed and taken to jail right here for tabling downtown. Take a look at this, folks.
You can actually go back if you'd like.
And the officer is confiscating his political literature, too. Make a note. Man being arrested for tabling downtown in Santa Cruz. Sergeant Baker is the man doing the arrest. Steve Argue is the man being taken into custody right here. Santa Cruz, the city that pretends to be progressive, is actually a part of the same repressive situation, which goes after people the merchants don't like, which goes after you if you don't have money. That's the problem we face in Santa Cruz today.
Tell me what is it that grows in this concrete path we walk, by the friendly barbed wire where we're not allowed to stop. Tell me what is it that grows, thriving in moral decay, ringing in the footsteps of those we drive away. When beautification becomes an ugly thing, and progress means death to someone else, when destiny becomes a dollar sign, you gotta ask yourself, tell me, can you smell the flowers of fascism? Tell me, what is this distraction that makes us look away, pretending we're happy and everything's okay? Well, we're really fooling, where even the trees are slaves, and the flowers in the pavement are marking all our graves. So you can't whitewash a piece of shit. Someone will always know that it's candy-coated gentricide everywhere I go. Tell me, can you smell the flowers of fascism? Tell me, what is it that grows in this concrete path we walk, by the friendly barbed wire where we all are forced to shop? Tell me, what is it that grows, thriving in moral decay, springing in in the footsteps of those we drive away, when cleaning up the streets means homeless sweeps and our property is stolen from someone else. They plant flowers in the pavement and drives all away. You gotta ask yourself, tell me, can you smell the flowers of fascism?
Back at the table, Matt, you've been tending this small table here, and what are your plans?
When they come back, I'm going to refuse to move and refuse to sign a citation in order to conduct a civil disobedience action, and they're probably going to arrest me.
Police harassing a political table downtown, about to make an arrest.
Then you know you're in violation of the ordinance and you ought to be signing.
Yes. Okay. I want to let you know at the outset, I will not resist arrest.
Okay.
I also decline to give you any information.
Okay.
That's all I have to say.
All right. Can I see your ID, please?
I'm going to rest on the ground here.
Okay.
I'm tired. I'm a cancer patient, so I'm not feeling very well.
Okay.
Two police officers are going to take a political table and a man. Who's tabling at us downtown here?
C. Jones, officer 169. M. Harris, maybe? 131, badge number 131. We got Baker and we got Young.
They're dragging him into the police car.
They're dragging him into the
police
car.
What is his crime? Politically tabled for more than an hour over the weekend.
They're having trouble dragging him into the police car.
And Jackson Sims,
he said he had cancer, had to lay down, and now they're dragging him into the police car. They got three cops trying to pick him up.
It's not harassment.
Two more cops here. We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
The Pacific Trading Company
right
law.
Here.
Downtown.
Well, it's a downtown business
Six
association
cops.
Incorporated.
Don't forget Officer Pollock. He's video camering the whole thing. They're turning him over, trying to pick him up by his t-shirt, picking him up by his arms, opening the door. They're trying to drag him, and someone's grabbing him from inside the police car, trying to pull him in. An officer,
the Constitution is being put into the squad car.
Drag
this
him
man
in
here.
This is ridiculous, man. This is ridiculous.
That I love.
This is sick.
Why the Pacific Trading Company? What did they have to do with it? Sick ho! The Pacific Trading Company and Candy Jackson shoes.
Here we go. Now they picked him up. He's you can hear him.
Breaking my fucking.
Breaking his arm, his wrist. They have him in handcuffs, picking him up, tearing his arms apart. Jeez. Had him in handcuffs and they're carrying him by his arms, pulling him apart. He's saying they're breaking his wrist. They're still trying to drag him in. They got him in the back seat now.
Just doing the job.
His legs are still out
there. It's in your church to track.
I mean, he was yelling in pain.
Tabling for more than an hour under the Pacific Trading Company's law downtown.
They stuff him in the police car and close the doors. This is disgraceful.
Anybody
1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 cops here. Heroin's going crazy in this town, and there's 8 police officers down here arresting him. One guy.
Policeman coming with his pistol. Policeman coming with his gun. Policeman coming with his pistol. Policeman's always on the run. Police, police, don't hear me please. Police, police, don't hear me please.
crash. You wanna see the look on my face when you smash it. I guess you wanna see the damage you do when you bash it. You like no black mass blister. You like folks of that kind. And you don't care about us brothers and sisters. You don't care about the reason behind. You wanna see the look in my eyes when you beat me. I guess you think that your crunch and hips can beat me. Well, bring on dogs and artillery. You can kill a man, but not his idea. Never cared about a little man yet. That's why we fight the power every shot that we get. Feathers off the power structure. Justified violence, black guy fractures. Hate a man.
Here now is an interview that was done March 5th, 2003 with Ann Turner, director of the Santa Cruz County and City Libraries. Tell me what your role is here at the library in Santa Cruz.
I'm the director of the Santa Cruz City County Library System. We serve all of Santa Cruz County except the city of Watsonville, and we have 10 branches and an outreach program. After the September 11th disaster in 2001, the Congress very hastily moved to adopt something called the USA Patriot Act, which gives the government a lot more powers than they used to have to do electronic surveillance, to demand to see library records, and to investigate people, sort of like in the McCarthy era. A lot of the provisions of the Patriot Act basically violate people's First Amendment rights to privacy and to free access to information. Our library system has always had in place, because of state law, we protect the confidentiality of library records. But now suddenly the government, the federal government, is able to go to any judge they want anywhere in the country and say they think they might have some suspicions of maybe some terrorist activity going on, so they want a search warrant, and they can come into the Santa Cruz Library and demand to see all our patron records on the strength of really, you know, just a suspicion. It used to be, the law used to be, that you had to go to a local judge if you were an investigator and demonstrate that you had just cause for requesting privacy records, or records which in fact are confidential. So now the feds can do this. Well, we took care to make sure that we don't have anything except what we, in terms of, we have no records of what patrons have charged out of the library, except while the book is still in their hands, because we have to keep track of it that way. But we don't keep any historic records of what people have charged. We make sure that we shred at the end of every business day our internet sign-up sheets, because lots of patrons are using our internet terminals, things like that. But we're still nervous, and the staff has also been trained to turn any request for records over to me, and then I refer it to the city attorney and that kind of stuff. But
Can the federal government monitor email activity that's being done from the library?
I think that they could if they got the right kind of court order to do it, if they could figure out how to crack the system. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's scary, you see. So what our Library Joint Powers Board, which is our governing authority, decided is they decided that what we should do is to put up signs at every one of our branches which warn patrons that even though we will work to protect their privacy, they should know that the federal government now has this power.
Have you had any response from patrons about that warning that will be implemented?
The warning signs are going up late this afternoon. Now it's Wednesday and tomorrow. I don't know what the response is going to be, but I do know that we interviewed patrons about this. Patrons were interviewed yesterday about it by some television people, every one of whom said, this is an outrage. The government is not entitled to know what I'm reading.
What else is the board doing to try and stop this activity?
The board has taken action now because there seems to be some movement in the Congress to amend the law. My understanding is that Representative Bernie Sanders of Vermont, who's an independent, is going to propose amending legislation which exempts both libraries and booksellers. Booksellers are also affected by this. Libraries and booksellers from the provisions of the act. And the board is acting now because they instructed me to notify the entire California congressional delegation, which, by the way, is two senators and 53 congressmen and in the House of Representatives. Anyway, we sent letters today to all 55 of them telling them about the board's position and asking them to please support amendment legislation.
The U.S. Patriot Act passed in late 2001, or after September 11th, 2001. Why is it that now there is some action being taken at the Santa Cruz Library in terms of possible surveillance by federal authorities and agents?
We've acted before. We began acting in December as soon as the act was passed in terms of reminding the staff of how they should handle requests for information about patrons, which is they don't answer them, they don't care how good the haircut and the suit of the guy coming in, what kind of identification he's got, we don't answer. We need to see a court document. The court document comes to me and I pass it to the city attorney. We have a lot of staff and they all needed to be reminded of that. We implemented, made sure that we were shredding the sign-up sheets, all of those kinds of things. I think the board is acting, the Joint Powers Board is acting now for a couple of reasons. One is that council member from Santa Cruz, Mike Rockin, who's the one who introduced this, is new to the Joint Powers Board. He knew about the act, and he really felt it was important that a library board in California speak out and say, no, we want this act amended. So that's one reason. The other reason is that things have calmed down just a tiny bit after 9/11, and Bernie Sanders is going to propose some amendments to the act, and the board would like to, to act now to say we're in favor of that.
Do you know of any other times when U.S. government agents have asked for information on what patrons at the library are checking out or reading or emailing?
Well, we've received subpoenas in the past on specific patrons that were involved in court cases. And we respond with the right kind of court order. That's the law. We must respond, but the state law says we have to have the right kind of court order, and we get the city attorney to tell us whether it is. So we've had those kinds of requests. Not a lot. I've been director of this library system for 19 and a half years, and I suspect there have maybe been four. Back in the 60s, there was a national program called the Library Awareness Program, which had the FBI doing profiles and stuff, which librarians spoke out against at the time.
Yeah, and in fact, I dug out some old articles. This one is from 1990, and it's from the Watsonville Pajaronian, and I have also some literature from the National Committee Against Repressive Legislation. And this actually is describing a library awareness program from the 1980s under George Bush Sr.
It's the 80s, not the 60s.
Yeah, and
our former Bush. Yeah. Okay.
And it even says that librarians who protested the information awareness program were themselves surveilled.
Yes, as far as I know, that was the case. It didn't involve me, but I heard about it, yeah.
Are you concerned about this at all, repercussions in any way?
I really don't know, and I don't care. As a matter of fact, I mean, I think the board took a very good action. I think that our staff is handling things the best way they could. I know what the First Amendment to the Constitution of the United States is about, and I know that it's our job to protect people's right to privacy and right to read anything they want.
The press is reporting that Santa Cruz is among the first half a dozen cities in the country to do anything against this provision in the Patriot Act. What do you think about that?
More power to us. We always like to be on the cutting edge. Actually, I put out a message yesterday on the California Library Association listserv saying that our board had done this and asking what other boards in California had. And so far, no other boards have reported in. So we may be the only one in California, but what else is new, you know?
And would you mind reading the warning sign?
The warning says, although the Santa Cruz Library staff makes every effort to protect your privacy, under the federal USA Patriot Act, Public Law 107-56, records of the books and other materials you borrow from this library may be obtained by federal agents. That federal law prohibits library workers from informing you, this is another scary part of the grant, from informing you if federal agents have obtained records about you. Questions about this policy should be directed to Attorney General John Ashcroft, Department of Justice, Washington, D.C., 20530. Someone suggested that we put the Attorney General's home phone number on the list, but I'm sorry, we don't have it. It's unlisted.
What's your concern about this particular part of the warning or of the provision?
That we are not allowed to tell a patron that somebody has been asking questions about them. And furthermore, I am not allowed to tell the Library Joint Powers Board that I've had a subpoena. Only me and the city attorney get to know that. The Library Joint Powers Board has asked me to report each month on whether report that I have not received any subpoenas, if that's the case, so that presumably they'll catch on if I do, you know, because I don't report I haven't, if you're following me. Yes. I think that the resolution that the board adopted begins by saying that the Library Joint Powers Authority Board affirms the responsibility of the leaders of the United States to protect and preserve the freedoms that are the foundation of our democracy, which means mounting an anti-terrorist campaign, of course, if terrorism, but it also means defending our First Amendment rights.
Well, thank you very, very much, Ann Turner. Thanks for speaking with me on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Thank you. Pleasure.
You're listening to Become the Media Radio on Free Radio Santa Cruz 96.3. And tune in every Sunday from 8 p.m. to late with DJ Matter Embryo and DJ Gigi Wiz. Listen to the Technical Difficulties radio show, home of Platterbox.
I'm going straight. Bought myself a flat top haircut so stiff I can carry a tray of martinis. Waiting on people, someone to open up her purse and give me a tip, cause I don't have a clue anymore as to what's going on. But I do know that I'm one step ahead, tapping my own phone to hear myself talking with people who used to be my friends, listening so I can correct myself before they do. And I've got a surveillance camera in my abandoned car across the street, watching myself replaying the tape so I can see if I'm acting funny before they catch me doing something I shouldn't. Like yesterday, I spotted myself walking too fast and I heard myself talking too loud. Yes, I've got the deep fear, paranoia, anxiety, despair, and suicide blues. But I'm making sure I don't do nothing else wrong, cause I done screwed up so many times. I cornered myself into a backstreet dead-end alley of paranoia, and every time I hear an airplane or helicopter or car door slam, I know the Secret Service, the FBI, and the IRS SWAT teams have finally arrived, cause I published a poem by the President of the United States of America without his fully conscious permission. And I'm sure I haven't paid enough taxes, cause I've got no income yet. Somehow I keep on doing things like eating every once in a while and paying a light bill or two, but how do I do it? They're gonna ask, what's the source of your income, and how come you don't come to see us anymore? So, yes, I've become a little jumpy, but I'm staying one step ahead, tapping my own phone, videotaping my every move, watching myself day and night, replaying the tapes, cause I got a bad case of the deep fear, paranoia, anxiety, despair, and suicide.
Since the fall of Baghdad to U.S. Marines on April 9th, U.S. media pundits have stepped up the rhetoric and have been postulating about who might be next on Washington's hit list for regime change. Will it be Syria? Lebanon? North Korea? Much of the speculation has been centered on Iran, Iraq's eastern neighbor and member of the Axis of Evil. Meanwhile, the CIA is investigating itself and other agencies to see if pre-war reports of Iraqi weapons of mass destruction and ties to al-Qaeda were misused by Bush administration officials. Now, allegations have surfaced that the Iranian government has violated an international agreement not to produce nuclear weapons. Today, we'll discuss the possibilities with Reese Ehrlich, a veteran, independent, foreign news correspondent. He is the producer of a one-hour public radio special, The Struggle for Iran, which is hosted by Walter Cronkite. Reese Ehrlich is also co-author of the book Target Iraq, What the News Media Didn't Tell You. Thanks for joining me today here on Rockin' the Boat, Reese Ehrlich.
Thanks very much, Vinny.
Reese, let's start. Let me ask you here. Most Americans remember the Iran hostage crisis in 1979 when 52 Americans were taken hostage, but American intervention in Iran goes back to a much earlier period. In 1953, after Mohammad Mossadegh, the popular leader in Iran, nationalized their oil fields, he was deposed by a CIA-orchestrated coup. Can you paint us a portrait about this coup and how life has changed for ordinary Iranians under the Ayatollah Khomeini?
Sure. Well, the thing to keep in mind is that this whole idea that the U.S. can impose regime change on other countries is nothing new. The U.S., the rhetoric and the reason for doing it has changed over the years, but the basic idea that the U.S., some god has anointed the U.S. the power to overthrow governments in other parts of the world and install governments to its liking, that's been going on for a long time. And if specifically in the case of Iran, Iran, of course, like Iraq, has vast oil supplies. The democratically elected prime minister of Iran, Mohammad Mossadegh, was decided to nationalize the Iranian oil, and that meant taking over at that time was British petroleum and British oil companies that were the dominant factor in Iran. And, of course, that was tantamount to communism, and he was called a communist, and at that time the bugaboo wasn't terrorism, it was communism. And Mossadegh was not a communist. There was a communist party in Iran, the Tudeh party, but it had nothing to do with Mossadegh. He had his own nationalist party. And so the U.S. Orchestrated a campaign and portrayed him as a weak man. And probably the most telling in our documentary, the most telling, we did a story about the media coverage of the Iran overthrow of Mossadegh and down through the years. And there's this great newsreel footage where, you know, very swelling of music, and says, "Now with Mossadegh gone, Iranian oil will flow westward once again." So it tells you a lot of what that one was all about. So the U.S. Directly at that time installed the Reza Shah dynasty in power, and he ruled as a horrible dictator for the following 26 years until 1979. And then in 1979, of course, the popular revolution took place that was supported by the left, by Muslim groups, by conservative groups, all kinds of people who had been oppressed under the Shah. And there was tremendous joy in Iran with the overthrow of the Shah and the kicking out of the U.S. as the dominant, by that time, the dominant power. The problem was is that these extremely conservative right-wing clerics managed to seize control of the Iranian Revolution and impose basically a theocracy on the country. And it's become a horrible dictatorship all over again, albeit with a Muslim facade to it rather than a pro-U.S. Facade to it. But the Iranian people, in elections, in popular demonstrations, in all kinds of ways, have shown their discontent with the government there. But now the U.S. is suddenly, we're seeing the same rhetoric all over again as we saw with Iraq. In fact, they're using the exact same lies.
Yeah.
Oh, they're supporting terrorism. Oh, they've got nuclear weapons. Oh, blah, 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 blah. We've got, the next step is to say, oh, well, we've got to go in and affect regime change, and the wonderful Iranian people will love us all over again.
Can I step back for a moment and ask you to talk a little bit more about the rejection of modernization by the people there, and give us a sense of how the people in Iran feel about this rise of this conservative Islamist rule, as you've described?
Well, it's complicated. I don't think they reject modernization. You can go to Iran and see computers and internet cafes and modern technology all over the place. Their oil industry is very modern. So it's not a rejection of modernization. It's a rejection of what they see as Western ways. And what makes it tricky is that encompasses everything from U.S. economic domination, which certainly is a legitimate concern of any third world country, but it also means the oppression of women, the banning of alcohol, the suppression of newspapers, television and film. It's a very theocratic, conservative interpretation of Islam. And frankly, most Iranians, as indicated by the elections, are fed up with that. They're not fed up with Islam or even the idea of an Islamic state, but they're very much upset with and oppose the right-wing theocrats who in essence run the country through the military, the police, and the courts. The religious institutions. All kinds of democratic reforms have been voted on and approved of, and then they're just overturned by the clerics, who are the real power in the country. So people have not. I mean, there's obviously lots of difference of opinion in Iran, but they certainly do. The majority of people do not like the hardline clerics who are running the country.
Okay. We're speaking with Reese Ehrlich. He's a veteran independent foreign news correspondent and a producer of the one-hour public radio special, The Struggle for Iran, and co-author of the recent book, Target Iraq, What the News Media Didn't Tell You. Reese, responding to a question about Iran's pursuit of al-Qaeda remnants alleged to be hiding there, White House Press Secretary Ari Fleischer today said, quote, "We are pressing the Iranians to end their support for terror, including the harboring of al-Qaeda terrorists. Our policy on Iran remains that the future of Iran is to be determined by the Iranian people." He went on to say that the U.S. will use diplomatic means, but what do you think about what's coming out of the White House?
Well, it's rather hypocritical coming out of the White House, since they don't believe that the people of Florida should determine the votes in Florida. Why the heck should we believe them when they talk about supporting the people of Iran? You have to, again, for anybody who knows anything about the region, it's a complete joke. The Iranian government was very much opposed to the Taliban and to al-Qaeda. They represent different groups within Islam. That is, the leaders in Iran are Shia Muslims. The Taliban and the al-Qaeda are Sunni Muslims. The Taliban government invaded a Iranian consulate back when the Taliban was in power and killed a bunch of Iranian diplomats. I mean, it was very serious. The Iranians had their own anti-Taliban guerrilla forces that they backed in the war against Afghanistan. So the idea that somehow al-Qaeda and Iran have made a conscious link-up and that the Iranian government is sponsoring al-Qaeda, I mean, it's just absurd for anybody who knows anything about the history of the area. Now, is it possible that some al-Qaeda people have escaped from Iran, from Afghanistan into Iran, and are seeking refuge? That's possible, but that doesn't mean that they're being supported by the Iranian government.
What about the issue of the alleged nuclear weapons program? Looking at an article in today's Mercury News, it was written by Cheryl Gates Stolberg of the New York Times. She writes, administration officials are now trying to build international support for an official finding from the International Atomic Energy Agency. And it goes on to say that board is meeting in June at its headquarters. What do you make of these accusations?
Well, you know, I don't have any independent information that says they do or do not have nuclear weapons. The Iranians say steadfastly they do not have nuclear weapons, that they have a peaceful program to develop nuclear power. Let's say show me the money. You know, the U.S. claims that they made the same claims about Iraq, and it turned out that all of their claims were based on blatantly forged documents. So I don't believe any of the documents or any of the intelligence that the U.S. Circulates. Iran is part of the International Atomic Energy Commission protocols. The international agency can send inspectors in. I would trust a fair evaluation by an international body that's not dominated by the United States. But right now, the Bush administration has a rather poor record on accusing others of harboring nuclear weapons when, of course, it's got the largest nuclear arsenal and the largest number of weapons of mass destruction in the entire history of the world.
Let's talk a little bit about the media, Reese. You're the author of Target Iraq, What the News Media Didn't Tell You. This article that I just cited really doesn't give much depth or background to the situation. And conversely, I read an article in today's, I think it was The Observer in the UK, and it was about a similar story, but it gave much more in-depth like analysis and discussion of what's going on in Iraq's government, how it's sort of in chaos. As you mentioned, there's a reformist movement within the council there in Iran. What do you think about the coverage, here in the U.S. of this issue?
Well, it depends on the day that you check the papers. The New York Times and other media in the U.S. have run in-depth articles about Iran at various times in the past. I've interacted with a number of New York Times and other mainstream reporters who've reported from Iran, CNN and others, and they're not stupid. They're aware of the contradictions that are going on in Iran. The biggest problem is that the U.S. media's starting point is whatever hype is coming out of the White House and the Pentagon at the moment. That's the beginning of the story. And that they, as one New York Times reporter told me in a moment of confidence, she said, hey, I've never met a New York Times reporter who would believe that a U.S. government official would lie to them. Basically, they think that whoever's in power, it's not just the Bush administration, it was true during Clinton and previous administrations, that they are so hooked into the system, their lives, their professional careers, ideologically, every other way, they are so hooked into the system that they actually believe this hokum that is spoon-fed out on a regular basis. So if your starting point is the false assumptions of who's ever in power in the United States, then of course your article is going to end up being rather distorted by the time it's finished being written.
Reese, we just have a few moments left. Maybe we can finish on maybe if you can give us some prospects for a true democracy and peace in the region, and what those prospects are now that the U.S. seems to have a pretty huge military presence right next door in Iraq.
Well, it's a very, very dangerous situation. The U.S. has expanded its power. It surrounds Iran both from the side of Afghanistan and from the side of Iraq. It's now in a position, the U.S. has announced it's going to have 4 military bases in Iraq. So it's now a direct, quite the contrary of somehow making the U.S. safer from terrorism. The U.S. is just spreading the anger at U.S. policy and recruiting more people to terrorism by its actions. Not to mention people who are righteously angry at U.S. military and economic policy. I think the Bush administration, the one thing that is encouraging to me is that the Bush administration has way, way overestimated its ability to control Iraq, and we can see it by the horrible deaths of American soldiers in the last couple of days. Iraq is in chaos. The U.S. is incapable of establishing a government there. It can't even get the electricity turned back on. The U.S. is not going to be able to go around invading other countries willy-nilly when it can't even bring stability to Iraq. And if that situation, along with a bad economy, continues into next year, we may well see regime change not in Tehran, but in Washington, D.C.
Well, one can only hope. With the way the last election turned out, though, I have my doubts. We've been speaking with Reese Ehrlich, veteran independent foreign news correspondent, producer of the one-hour public radio special, The Struggle for Iran, and also he's co-author of the book with Norman Solomon called Target Iraq, What the News Media Didn't Tell You. That is available from your local independent bookseller. And we thank you, Reese, for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
All right, and you have a great day.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
What? Oh, yes, you are locked on listening to Become the Media Radio. This is Damien, holding it down each and every Saturday, 3 to 6 o'clock, bringing you youth and culture resistance programming on Free Radio Santa Cruz 96.3 on your radio dial. That's right, www.freakradio.org. Stay locked.
I tried to go clean from protesting, but I'm a recidivist. My government behaving with unlimited wickedness. In the interest of peace is how a liar wages war, then clamors for more. I wish we had elections every day. Wave the ballot in the air like a sign when I say democracy delivered by the bomb and the gun. It's terror elsewhere in the world I'm from.
Yeah, I got a special delivery. I've got a special delivery.
I've got a special delivery.
Here's your special delivery.
Do you cheer for the once and for all of an enemy whose handball man Don was on in 8-3, but who now exemplifies all evil? What you get for shaking hands with people who represent the vast and sinister interests of industry. We protect a free trade world, so don't dare try to stop us. We deliver them bullets and sell them their coffins.
Yeah, I got a special delivery. I've got a special delivery.
I've got a special delivery.
Your special delivery.
And I wish that I could afford the ear of Bush II. I'd ask, is it your favorite philosopher who recommend invading and exterminating all who defy us? Crying out justice, but seeking out triumphs. Wasn't your Christ unbeloved of empires? One nailed his ass to a post, he expired. A terrorist, as Roman evidence showed, put down like a retard on the death row. In Texas, I guess her flat, right, George? Ain't that how every war gets scored? Big gun wins, winner gets a free turn. Enemy after enemy burns. Are you listening, sir? Or did your mind drift to the next country in your axis? To all the cool bomb drops you get to call. Delivery fresh from the fourth right to y'all.
Here's your special delivery.
Attention, public utility customers. With the confidence I gained weight every time I went, when I showed up, he asked me if I wanted to lose.
Delicious, using genuine California avocado.
It's like being nibbled to death by a duck.
Want to find a Christian community where you can learn and grow together? Neighborhood Church in Castro Valley is committed to sound biblical teaching, and they don't just gather on Sundays.
Freak Radio Santa Cruz 96.3. Fuck the FCC. Anti-commercial, unlicensed community radio station here in Santa Cruz. Some of our fine programming.
We all started out of a group called Food Not Bombs that believed in serving free food, and we got come down on by cops. We wanted our free expression. We wanted to be able to say something and to actually create community. It's a form of activism. It's also a form of expression, which is supposed to be covered in our First Amendment. And besides, the airwaves do belong to the people, and I didn't vote for the FCC.
Listening to other radio stations, it's mostly commercials, and they tend to repeat the same music day after day. At micro radio, you just get to speak your mind. There's nobody looking over your shoulder.
Some of our fine programming we have: Free Speech Radio News, 5 p.m. Monday through Friday, Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman, 1 o'clock Monday through Friday. We have Cut Your Hair and Get a Fucking Job with Old Lady Scar Arms and Baby Greaser James.
You're tuned to San Francisco Liberation Radio at 93.7. My name is Sarah Olson, here with you every Tuesday from 6 to 8 p.m. We've been listening to Kate Raphael, who is an activist with Queers for a Free Palestine.
The point, I think, is access to the airwaves. The Bay Area is a wealth of activists and people who are doing really good and really important work that don't have access.
The FCC, an appointed body, not elected, answerable only to the president, decided on its own that radio and television were the only two parts of American life not protected by the First Amendment to the Constitution. Why did they decide that? Because they got a letter from a minister in Mississippi.
We want the airwaves back. We don't.
Free Rider Berkeley began as a project approximately 10 years ago. The FCC came in 1994 and tried to get a preliminary injunction against the station and myself personally. I prefer not calling it pirate radio because really what we're doing is reclaiming our free speech rights on the broadcast airwaves. You could say that we're essentially trying to reclaim stolen property. We're basically providing the equipment, the training, and the know-how to set up small stations.
This is a complete transmitter on one board. It can fit into a small enclosure, and with a proper antenna and setup, you can go anywhere from 5 to 8 miles with it.
A small station like that could reach well over 500,000 people. We're always trying to do further outreach to particularly organizations in the Bay Area that may be in a solidarity relationship with groups in struggle in other countries to help provide them with a small broadcast station.
Free radio, chaos radio collective, whatever you want to call it. We now have the technology. The airwaves really belong to us. It's up to the people to take back that which U.S. corporate interests and government regulators monopolize. Stop for-profit brainwashing. Build revolt by networking national.
1.9% APR financing available in 2002. Forster in 2002. Legacy of that might arrive. Subject credit insurance.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
$100.
I'm so excited.
An automobile doesn't merely satisfy your need for motion. It satisfies your need for emotion.
The idea of a non-biased news report is a myth, and I think that we're receiving really slanted information.
Free and anonymous HIV testing every Tuesday and Wednesday from 3 to 6:15 p.m. Also needle exchange happening, bilingual test counselors, social supportive services at the drop-in center.
If I could go to a major station and broadcast what I'm broadcasting here, I would absolutely, because for me the point is not necessarily to broadcast illegally as much as it is to broadcast a diversity of viewpoints and information.
With you tomorrow at 5, you'll have all the updates on what to wear, what to peel off.
So, let's stop fighting each other. Let's stop looking side to side. And let's all begin to look up at who really has the power and who's dividing us. And let's go after that power.
Corrispondenza hip hop dall'Italia 1998. I'm Alex on the microphone for San Francisco Liberation Radio 93.7. Free Radio Berkeley. Free Radio Santa Cruz. Hip Hop Slam. Pirate Fucking Radio Billy Jam. Radio for All. And Microkind Radio in Texas. This is the show dall'Italia del 1998. Corrispondenza hip hop.
Attenzione.
Una volta supero ogni metodo. Come vedi, lo stile libero. La mia conoscenza porta a seguito.
And this is Become the Media Radio, a monthly one-hour program featuring Free Radio Santa Cruz programming. You just heard a short film documentary called Stealing Air. We also heard from the Rockin' a Boat program with the V-Man interviewing Reese Ehrlich. We heard from MC Front a lot with the track Special Delivery. Ron Whitehead did Tapping My Own Phone. Thanks to Dan Roberts from the Outfar Press folks, outfarpress.com, for sending that in. We heard from the Great Leap Forward program and what the Santa Cruz City Libraries is doing in defense of the Patriot Act. We heard from a band called Randy with A Man in Uniform on Epitaph Records. We heard some street interviews and documentation of two arrests of political tablers in the downtown area by the Bathrobes Piers Broadside Show with Robert Norris. You can go to huffsantacruz.org for more information, or go to santacruzindymedia.org. And we heard from Spearhead
at the beginning of the program with Donnie. Please check out our website at www.freakradio.org. We can use donations, however large or small. You can PayPal at our website, freakradio.org, or you can snail mail donations to help keep this pirate radio station afloat and running. And that's P.O. Box 7507, Santa Cruz, California. You can make all checks payable to Free Radio Santa Cruz or FRSC and mail them on in to P.O. Box 7507, Santa Cruz, California, 95061. That's P.O. Box 7507, Santa Cruz, California, 95061. Visit our website at www.freakradio.org. You can PayPal and donate there as well. Help us keep us going 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of electronic civil disobedience at Freak Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM, freakradio.org, bringing you the best grassroots media you can find. And lastly here for the Become the Media program, we have a track from David Rovix, which says it all about unlicensed micro radio, with a track called Seize the Air. Until next month, you really can become the media radio.
This is how it started. It's not hard to understand. From coast to coast, they're lying at a CEO's command. From nationalist public radio, CNN and NBC, Big Brother spewing propaganda from the disinformation ministry. They say the economy is booming. We hear the homeless beggars cry. They say we help poor countries. We see bombs falling from the skies. Reality doesn't exist, they're trying to say. But some of us decided there is another way. Seize the airwaves, seize the time. 'Cause lying to the people is the real crime. When it's all owned by corporations and theirs is the only word, we will seize the airwaves, speak freely and be heard. We will seize the airwaves, speak freely and be heard. Someone got a transmitter, started up a station. Then the idea spread right across the nation. Like the land and water, the air must be free. So let us shout together, fuck the FCC. Seize the airwaves, seize the time. 'Cause lying to the people is the real crime. When it's all owned by corporations and theirs is the only word, we will seize the airwaves, speak freely and be heard. We will seize the airwaves, speak freely and be heard. And we'll do it all together in a grassroots style, tearing down the fences throughout this whole square mile. It's the new town meeting, it's the way the news should be. The rulers call it chaos, we say it's democracy. So when you turn on the radio and you've had it with this shit, from 88 to 107 makes you wanna have a fit. When you listen to the music and it's all the same pop song, start up a pirate station, 'cause that's where you belong. Seize the airwaves, seize the time. 'Cause lying to the people is the real crime. When it's all owned by corporations and theirs is the only word, we will seize the airwaves, speak freely and be heard. Seize the airwaves, seize the time. 'Cause lying to the people is the real crime. When it's all owned by corporations and theirs is the only word, we will seize the airwaves, speak freely and be heard. We will seize the airwaves, speak freely and be heard.